This is Close Up Fort Mill Tiga K, presented by Piedmont Medical Center. You won't believe what's in your own backyard. And by Family Trust Federal Credit Union, a relationship you can trust. Now, live from the Toast Cafe, here is Patty Mercer.
Hello and welcome to Close Up Fort Mill Tiga K on WRHI 2016 South Carolina's Radio Station of the Year. I'm Patty Mercer and we are live today from Famous Toastery here in Tiga K, where every server is your server. My guest, Melissa Davis Boyd, we're talking about Joe Davis Run for Recovery, and you've probably been paying attention to the weather, so if you have some questions about how that's going to impact Saturday's race, you need to stay tuned and hear all the facts. Today, I just want to say thanks to Piedmont Medical Center. Of course, our presenting sponsors wouldn't be possible without you guys. You won't believe what's in your own backyard. And Family Trust Federal Credit Union, a relationship you can trust. Close Up is all about Fort Mill and Tiga K, bringing you relevant issues, events, and people, creating a buzz around town. Looking at national issues through a local perspective, keeping our community informed on information straight from the source. Thanks to our co-sponsors, York Electric Cooperative, providing safe, reliable, affordable, and environmentally responsible electrical power, and Famous Toastery, locally owned by Michelle and Jason Serkin, now open in Indian Land, with great daily specials that we love, and pretty soon, I think maybe, I don't know, early spring, something like that, I'm totally guessing, but they are definitely working on a location in Rock Hill, so yay, Famous Toastery, more to enjoy for all of us. Melissa Davis Boyd, thank you so much for joining me today on
Close Up.
Thank
you for having me.
Always look forward to having you. And not so much the discussion. It's a tough topic, that of addiction, and yet it is a national topic that we hear more and more about. There's a lot of misconceptions, a lot of stigmas as it relates to what addiction is. Your involvement began with your brother.
Yes, Joe.
Yes. So before we get into talking about Joe, share a little bit about you.
Okay.
And then we'll dive into the topic of today's discussion.
Okay. Well, like you said, my name is Melissa. I am a lifelong resident of Rock Hill. Grew up here. Joe was my younger brother, is my younger brother. I have an older brother, Chris. My mom is still here. She lives in Sharon and is remarried. My dad passed away about 17 years ago. So I am a nurse slash case manager. Have three children.
Wow.
All three of them, they're 15, 12, and 6. They all go to Westminster Catawba. And my husband is a manager at Porter Paints. We live beside his daddy. So we're big, big Rock Hill fans.
Love this
community.
You're very connected.
Yes.
You are a close-knit family. And I think that is why, if addiction can happen to your family, it can happen to anybody.
Yes, and that's exactly why we started this event, because we are, you know, your hometown, middle-class Christian family, and this happened to us, and it can happen to anybody. It's not, you know, an addict. What people usually want to look at that as is somebody that's a junkie in the street. That is not who Joe was. You know, he had a loving family that loved him as much as somebody could love somebody, and we still lost him. So that's why we didn't know about Keystone, which is all the proceeds go to, and we just wanted to really have the opportunity to make a difference, use his life, which was very valuable, to make a difference for other people and encourage those that are suffering to seek recovery without shame or stigma. So that's our goal.
It's always so heartbreaking for me, because there are so many efforts to give the message that do not use drugs, drugs are bad, blah, blah, blah. And yet through this process, the lines get blurred. Nobody makes a decision that they're going to become a drug addict. Nobody makes that their life plan. So how, you know, in hindsight, do you feel, what set your brother up to, you know, go down this path?
The number one thing that set him up was genetics. Okay. My mom's mom was an alcoholic in recovery until she died. And my dad, so that's both sides of the family tree. My dad, when he passed away, he went to Betty Ford Rehab for an addiction to narcotic pain medication. So, and I have that same tendency. I am very careful. I have maybe a glass of wine every 3 months, because I know it could be triggered in me at any point in time, and I'm not really willing to take that risk. I saw it happen to Joe. I saw him suffer. It started with alcohol. It moved to marijuana, which a lot of people say is not addictive. I disagree. That's a gateway drug, and it took him to other things, which led to an overdose of heroin.
I think people would be very surprised that you admit that there could be a potential of risk for you as it relates to drinking. I think it's so admirable. I think about Donald Trump. Yeah. He's a teetotaler because didn't he have an alcoholic brother?
Yeah.
So there is that genetic link. And I guess the part about being a gateway drug with marijuana, anything that might lower your inhibitions,
yes,
might cause you to forget in that moment, mm-hmm, that you have or a potential
right
tendency for addiction.
Yes.
So in that process, I can understand that. Knowledge is definitely power, but we're learning more and more about genetics. 20, 30 years ago, I don't know that there was that connection made between
right
addiction and genes.
Right. Well, and that's the same thing where 20, 30 years ago, you probably didn't have studies being done and, you know, physicians that have come out and said that addiction is a disease. It is not something that can be controlled. When it's triggered, that person, and there's not a cure. So whereas before, you know, I think we are, the more we talk about it, which again is one of the goals of this race, the more that we talk about it and can get people to understand what this really is and how hard, like you said, if you can find me a person that will come to me and say, you know what, I went to bed last night and I prayed that God would make me wake up an addict. If you can find that person, please, I'd love to hear it, because I have not met a single person. If you looked at Joe's journals, you could see what a struggle that it was for him every single day. I don't believe that there was an ounce of him that did not want to get sober and stay sober. But it's a vicious, vicious cycle, you know? And so that's why somebody struggling from addiction needs support of their family, of their community. And yes, sometimes it's tough love. You know, it's a fine balance to figure out how you get that person. And sometimes, you know, there's going to be a rock bottom. Unfortunately for us, the rock bottom we prayed would not happen did happen. But that's why we're using his life, you know, to change that, the course. If we can change the course for one person, then Joe's life made a huge difference. And I believe that we can do that.
Yes, and you knowing the heart of your brother, I didn't realize that he had had journals.
Yeah.
What an insight, because when a person is struggling, they're probably writing in those journals.
Mm-hmm.
They're not talking to their family because there's a disconnect
right
for those that are in the fight and those that are observing the fight, and yet everybody suffers when
right
with addiction.
Right. Well, I believe the last thing too that he wanted to do was to disappoint the ones that he loved the most. So I think that makes it difficult too to come and be upfront and say, hey y'all, I'm really struggling again, because you want to believe that it's the sobriety is something that's he's handling well.
Right, right.
You know, so it's disappointing, or he felt
and
like it was
failure.
Oh yeah,
is lost credibility
right
probably
yeah
in the mind of that person that's
right
trying
and some
so hard.
Some people are fortunate and they go to recovery and rehab and they get a really solid program and they go to AA or NA and they never drink or do a drug again. But there's other people where it's 5, 6, 10 times, you know, until they get to that point. So
and often from what I've read, during the recovery can also be the most vulnerable to an overdose leading to death. Why
right
is that?
Well, and that's exactly what we think happened with Joe. We believe he was sober for a good period beforehand. So when he went back and he was in an environment where those heroin was readily available, in his mind he probably thought, well, you know, this is the same amount that I did before, and his body was
right
not used to that, so that amount was lethal.
You know, that just that rationalization, it's such a mind over matter. And you had mentioned AA,
mm-hmm,
and the other one was
NA, Narcotics Anonymous.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So these are support groups that are intended to become part of the lifestyle.
Yes.
Because you never are cured
no
from addiction.
No.
It is something that you've got to learn to work with, similar to someone that has a weight problem.
Right.
Food is going to be there. Opportunities
yes
are always going to be there. You just have to learn to manage it, and you do that through the support of other people that have been down the same path.
Right, and that's why you get a sponsor, you know, and like you said, why you attend the meetings, because you have to keep yourself every day, you know, or every couple of times a week, however many is what works for you, but you have to work the program. It's a program for a reason. You have to work the program and stay on top of that to keep yourself, you know, healthy.
Yeah, yeah. And having a sponsor to remind you the importance of that when you don't feel like getting out of bed.
Right.
You know, because the genetics part is, I mean, you are addicted. You feel better when you have this drug in your system.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So you're having to choose to feel bad before you get better.
Right.
Which is kind of like counterintuitive with the way that we're designed to survive. You've changed the name of the run this year. Tell
me
why.
In discussion with Chris and my mom, we felt like as much as we go out and we talk about it, the first few years, I think that for heroin to stumble out of my mouth, I still got tongue twisted because it's hard. It's still hard to say that, but it is at the beginning of the year, so we felt like the resolution made sense, but that was not our mission. Our mission was not to get people on a path, you know, for good resolutions. We want people to come out and be healthy, but we felt like with his name there, we didn't need memorial. With his name there, it says, you know, that it's about him and they can go read the story. But more than that, we wanted to make it crystal clear what our goal is, and that is recovery. For anybody struggling with addiction or substance abuse, recovery is the goal. So that is what we're running for. That's what we're raising money for, running or walking or sleeping in, staying warm for the calls. That's what we're doing, is because we want to encourage recovery without shame, guilt, stigma. Recovery is the goal. So we wanted that right there on the name for people to see.
Well, and I think that's important because resolution, I mean, the new year is about resolutions.
Right.
Recovery is every day, every minute, no matter where you are. And to be able to talk about it without being considered less than is huge in terms of steps to recovery. So what about this weather?
Snowmageddon 2017.
Because the race is scheduled to be this Saturday.
It is.
However.
It is. Right. And here's the thing is what this event is about at the core is the mission of recovery, but it is also a family event. What we want is people to bring their kids out for them to hear about this. It needs to start when these kids are young. Have the conversation. So if you have them out there and you can tell them why you're out there and why you support this cause, then we've met one of our goals.
Right.
So in looking at that, at the beginning of the week, I put a video out there and I said, y'all, it's on. You know, we're doing this. But as we have all watched the weather very closely, prayed about it, and I told Chuck this morning, I've learned in my life that I don't control much, and weather is definitely something I don't control. So when we started this race in 2012, we handed it over to God. He's got this, and if it's supposed to be a big success, he'll make it a success. If it's not, then he had that too. So in a lot of discussion and with the participant safety at the forefront, we have decided that with possible 3 to 5 inches and temperatures in the low teens, we are going to postpone the race and move it to the next Saturday, the 14th.
The following Saturday.
We've talked to Brown Simpson with Fort Mill Parks and Rec. The park is good to go. The police are good to go. So at this time, that's the decision. So we'll be sending out an email. I'll be getting on Facebook this afternoon. Any questions, people are welcome to contact Start to Finish. We will also give the option, if people cannot come next Saturday, to defer to 2018.
Okay. Wow. You know, so many decisions. A lot goes into planning an event such as this. And to be able to postpone it 1 week later is really awesome.
Oh, it's a huge blessing because, like, there's so many things that come into that.
Yeah.
You know, our sponsors, there's, like you said, so much planning. And it's been in the works since July. So, you know, but again, I feel very at peace with the decision. Chris and my mom feel at peace with the decision. Like I said, we want people to come out. We want this next weekend. It's supposed to be in the 40s. Now, can that change between now and then? We know the weather can change, yes. But right now, with a slight possibility of rain, but I'd much rather have rain with no chance of freezing. I mean, I can't chance somebody getting in an accident on the way. I can't chance a runner falling on black ice. I can't. If somebody got hurt, that would hurt my feelings badly. Yeah. So
the executive decision is made. The Joe Davis Run for Recovery is going to be January 14th. All the details besides that are pretty much the same.
Yes, and everything will be on the website, joedavisrun.com.
Gotcha. Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the relationship that this run has with Keystone Substance Abuse Center right here in York County. And just want to say thanks so much to our presenting sponsors, Piedmont Medical Center. If you haven't been to Piedmont Medical Center lately, then you haven't been to Piedmont. And Family Trust Federal Credit Union, a relationship you can trust. Thanks to our co-sponsors, York Electric Cooperative and Famous Toastery. We'll be back with more Close Up Fort Mill TKK in just a few.
With Family Trust Premier Choice Checking, you get loan discounts, free ATM use, identity theft protection, and one award point for every $1 spent, which can be redeemed for travel, gift cards, or cash. Open your Premier Choice Checking account today at any Family Trust office, federally insured by the NCUA.
Yes, you can save up to $40 on your electric bill. This is Mark Howie with York Electric Cooperative. Call us today about our Power Saver Rewards program or visit us online at yorkelectric.net. Save money, do something good for the environment, join the Power Saver Rewards program today, yorkelectric.net.
Toast Cafe and Tika K would like to thank you for your loyal patronage, and they're excited to announce that in order to further expand across state lines, Toast is changing their name to Famous Toastery. The brand new name will allow them to be completely separated as the premier name in breakfast and lunch. The only thing that changes to Toast is the name. Famous Toastery will have the same great culture and experience that they're known for. In fact, look for Toast to open their Famous Toastery soon in Rock Hill. Thanks once again from the bottom of their hearts at Famous Toastery, and they'll be seeing you soon down at Famous Toastery.
Surgical weight loss could be your best way to cure obesity. Whether you're interested in learning more about the weight loss options right for you, or just ready to take the next step, Piedmont Medical Center offers a comprehensive surgical weight loss program tailored to help you reach your weight loss goals. Find out how Piedmont can help you achieve long-term weight loss by attending our next free surgical weight loss seminar. Register online at mypmcsurgicalweightloss.com. Piedmont Medical Center. You won't believe what's in your own backyard.
With the Family Trust mobile banking app, you can do your banking anytime, anywhere. Make deposits, transfer funds, pay bills, get account balances, even access Apple Pay. To join, drop by any Family Trust branch or download in the app or Google Play stores. Family Trust. We're open anytime, anywhere.
We now return to Close Up Fort Mill Tiga K. Once again, here's Patty Mercer.
We're back, and you're listening to Close Up Fort Mill TKK. My guest today, Melissa Davis Boyd. We're talking about the Joe Davis Run for Recovery. Melissa has made an executive decision. The race originally planned for this Saturday, January 7th, has been moved to when?
The 14th, January 14th, same time, same place.
1 week later. And, you know, we were just talking a little bit about the planning that goes into putting a race together and also sponsorships.
Yes.
You've got, which always warms my heart. We talk so much about our community and just how many unsung heroes we have. When we have an event like this, the opportunity for local business to step up and support such an important and relevant cause, it's right here. You've got some who have certainly gone above and beyond this year.
Yes, we do. We have our presenting sponsors. Piedmont joined us last year, which they also are your presenting sponsors.
Well, hello.
So, I mean, look, they're pretty awesome in
Gotta
our community.
Love PSC.
Yes. So we are very thankful for them. They are coming out next Saturday. They'll have hand warmers at their table, going to keep everybody warm if the temperature should drop and that's needed. Then we have HEI, which is the Houston family, and they have been with us since year two. They also lost their son Van to an addiction overdose, and they have stood beside us, and for that we are so grateful. We have a new sponsor, big sponsor, our elite sponsor this year is Comfort Heating and Air, and thank God for them. Matthew Sy is a is a F3 member. F3, that group of men
That work out like at 5 in the morning.
I think we have like 150 of them registered for this race. And the female virgin, Thea. So if anybody's looking for a workout group that is free, look them up. F3 and Thea, huge supporters of this race. This community, if you go to our website and look at the number of sponsors that we have, we absolutely could not do it without it and are so grateful. So especially to Piedmont, HEI, and Comfort Heating and Air. Praise the Lord.
I'm telling you, and again, a group like that can serve as such a support to continue to stay on the right path in terms of your health and longevity. Okay, I got a cough. Excuse me. When it comes to the day of the race. It always warms my heart, too, to see the community support.
Yes.
And to see, like you said, the opportunity to have conversations with the younger generation.
Right.
Because it really is about recovery. Resolutions are awesome, but recovery is hard work, and it's not easy. And as we said before break, you're so vulnerable when you are in recovery should you relapse and use heroin. And now our first responders have medication to help reverse.
Right, Narcan.
That. Tell me about that, because you're a nurse. You have a background.
I am. Hello. Yes, yes. And Narcan is something, of course, we've used in the hospital for years for, like, opiate, you know, overdoses or, you know, too much. So, and I've followed a lot of these news, you know, I think day before yesterday, one of the local news channels had a beautiful mom who passed away from an overdose. And of course the comments started because the Narcan conversation, and there are people who are saying she was an addict, they need help. And then there are the people who are coming and saying, well, great, you know, now these people are going to think, well, it won't kill me because a first responder is going to show up and give me Narcan. And I just, how can you look at it like that? Because at the end of the day, it, addict or not, this is a life. So if you can choose to save it in whatever capacity that you can, why would you ever have a different perspective? That breaks my heart. And honestly, for those people, I'm sad for you, because every life is valuable. So if there's an opportunity to give them a drug that can quickly bring them back, do you know what I would give if somebody would have had Narcan and given it to Joe?
Absolutely.
And do they think that because that saved him, he'd turn around and be like, ooh, let me try that again and see if it kills me or if they can bring me back again? I don't understand that perspective at all.
I think it goes back to why it is so very important to have conversations with facts.
Yes.
Because people don't understand what they've never experienced
right.
for themselves. And,
right.
and it's hard even in families
yeah.
to understand how difficult it is to recover. I've heard people kind of take exception to calling it a disease. Because they feel like, well, that's just an excuse for someone to, you know, continue to be addicted. Again, it goes back to what you said, Melissa. Nobody wakes up and chooses
no.
to be an addict. That is not a glamorous life.
Oh, it's not. No.
You know, heroin is, you know, long time used drug from the 70s. We thought it was
right.
gone. Here it's back again. Painkillers. For those that may not understand the connection
yeah.
that we're talking about, how do you go from being addicted to a painkiller to suddenly you are injecting heroin into your body?
Well, you know, there's now, and it, thankfully the conversation is getting started, but the problem is you've got people that legitimately do need pain medicine. There are reasons for that.
Right.
The problem is it's not always closely monitored. So when you use those for a certain amount of time, especially if you have a predisposition genetically to have a problem with addiction, you get to where you need that. And if you can't get it, say your refills run out and that physician's like, hold up, I've given you this much, that's it. You're going to find a way to get something that makes you feel the same way. And heroin, which is readily available, whether or not somebody wants to believe that, you can go probably right across the street here and find some heroin, and it's cheaper.
And this is what amazes me, because if you are using, you see it everywhere.
Right.
If you have never used, you don't see it anywhere.
Well, and if you're not looking for it.
If you're not looking for
right.
it. It's kind of like it just suddenly you've crossed over and it is readily
right.
available, like you said. Do you know, like, how many Americans right now are addicted to heroin?
You know, I don't know what the statistic right now is, but if people knew what it actually was, it's alarming.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, I think, too, people would be shocked, even right here in Fort Mill, TGK, that turn a blind eye to it, would be shocked at how easily their 15-year-old could get it in their hands, like this afternoon,
well,
with a phone call. You know, it's very alarming. And it is trending to where we're hearing more about it, and I think that's going to get worse before it gets better. But on the positive side of that, the more that we do the conversation on the other side of it, which is what we're trying to do with this race,
right,
the better we're going to be able to fight.
Absolutely.
You know,
and I've had that conversation with my kids. There was a time when it was almost a rite of passage to try different things, you know, experiment, live
right.
your life, sow your wild oats, whatever. it's not, it's a, you can't play that game anymore.
It's Russian like, roulette. Yeah.
It's Russian roulette, and it's like, it's not a maybe or every now and then, it's a no.
Right.
You make
right.
up your mind now, no.
Right.
N-O,
yeah.
end of story. Because no, especially at a certain age, you can't learn lessons necessarily vicariously through somebody else's life.
Right.
You have to learn it the hard way. This is a lesson you don't want to have to learn
no.
the hard way.
No.
You don't want to take a gamble.
No.
What are our schools doing in terms of getting the message out there? I understand Keystone is getting more involved,
yes,
all on board.
Thankfully, yes.
Yes.
And, you know, I think, too, the funding needs to be more there to get those programs, because for a while it got to be where the funding was an issue and everybody had to pull back. But if there's anything, I mean, we're talking to kids in school about sex.
Yeah.
At a very young age, you know, in those types of things, this is just as important. So we need the funding there for that, too. So I think it's coming back to where people are seeing that. But like I said, my six-year-old knows. She knows what happened to Uncle Joey, you know, and she knows how important that conversation is. And I hope that my kids can be a beacon of light in the atmosphere that they're in. They're in Christian school and we're blessed for that, but it has problems too. The drugs are there, you know, so it may be a little bit less. But I hope that when my kids get in a group and the conversation comes up about drugs, that they're the first ones that say, whoa, 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 no. Let me tell you what happened to my uncle and why I'm saying no, and I want you to say no with me.
Right.
And the kids that come to this race, let them be that voice.
Right.
You know, that's why it's so important, you know, that we get them out there.
Sure. Educating
our youth from the time they can understand is at the forefront, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Just like you teach them not to touch a hot stove.
Yes.
Don't touch it.
Yeah.
And medicine drop-offs, you know, for grandparents, for parents. There is a time and a useful place for painkillers, but when you're done, get rid of them.
It. Yep.
Because
Absolutely.
There's a street value to these drugs.
Yes.
How much over the course of, what, this is your
fifth year,
have you raised?
All total, not this year, not included, for the 4 years, we raised $97,000.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And as it relates to Keystone, everyone is welcome at Keystone in terms of, you shouldn't let cost be a barrier to getting the help that you need.
Right.
How does that work?
You call basically and they work with you in whatever capacity that you can. We have, you know, every year at first we talked about where do we want these funds to go, and we really leave that up to Keystone for it to go to the program that is in need of it the most. So where it has gone in years past was to the men's outpatient treatment program, which is for men Joe's age that need support. These are, you know, a lot of times young men with families.
Right.
So, you know, but they do in whatever capacity, and they can help. They have all the resources to do whatever they can, because their mission and their goal is the same as ours. And that's why we benefit them, why our funds go to them, because their mission is anybody that seeks help gets the recovery and the treatment that they need.
And addiction, it wrecks families.
Oh, it does.
Especially, and it's so unfair to children to not have strong leadership in their family, and we see so many organizations that are really a trickle-down safety net for what began as an addiction in a family and cycles into all sorts of bad stuff.
Right.
So I just appreciate you so much, you and your family, continuing to share from a personal perspective on a topic that is continuing to just wreak havoc. And when it comes to painkillers and heroin, they're both opioids that create a certain feeling in your brain.
Right.
And you may be addicted before you ever take the first pill. So
Very
knowledge
true.
Is power.
Yep.
Melissa Davis, thank you so much. For more information about the change of venue, go where?
JoeDavisRun.com. Start to finish is doing an excellent job. Bree, our director, is already on top of it. She has got an email drafted. So if you are already registered, be looking for that email in your inbox. Check your junk mail, your spam.
There you go.
It will have all the details everybody needs to know.
Race is going to be January 14th, not this Saturday. Thank you so much for being my guest, and thank you to Piedmont Medical Center. You won't believe what's in your own backyard. And Family Trust, Federal Credit Union, a relationship you can trust. Thanks to our co-sponsors, York Electric Cooperative and Famous Toastery. When the facts matter, close-up counts. Until next time, this is Patty Mercer. Bye-bye.